All right, we'll call the meeting to order at 7:05. Would you call the roll?
Yes. Committee member Tui?
Here.
Committee member Batchelor?
Here.
Committee member McCoy?
Here.
Committee member Shastry? Committee member Vahelia?
Here.
And I know John is going to be absent.
Okay.
So we're ready to go.
Do you have any special items?
No.
Okay. There's no one here to make public comments, so we'll move on to approval of the minutes of the April 18 meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes?
Yes.
If so, find them acceptable, accept a motion that will approve.
I move to approve the minutes of April 18th, 2018.
Okay, is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. No consent calendar.
Nope.
Committee business, public art map update discussion.
Okay. So, we had a bit of a more formal presentation last time, just kind of showing you what the map used to look like and looking at some potential interactive maps, because I think that's where everybody, one of the directions everybody wanted to head was getting an interactive online, you know, web-based map, especially in light of the city having a new website. So I reached out to Steven Spadowski, who is our GIS specialist who does all of our coordination of where everything is in the city and maps. He is pretty swamped right now with several projects. So we are on his radar. We have been talking about it and we will be meeting about it coming up. The hope is with this new website that it's a fairly simple system that we will be able to either enter the location of the items that we're aware of, or apparently on an iPhone, and I don't have an iPhone, but I'm gonna do some research to see how you can do it on an Android, if you can, is you can take a picture and it'll automatically, if you set it right, tag its coordinates, like not just the address, but the actual coordinates.
GPS coordinates.
The GPS coordinates, which then you enter in, and then it creates a little blip on a map, and then you have your picture and everything else. If that isn't possible, I know that there's other ways that we can accomplish that, i.e. just by putting in probably an address. Maybe you know, you'll get a general location as opposed to maybe something super specific. So we are working on that. But in the meantime, I thought we could start to focus on what a printed map would look like. So this wouldn't be a map, as we talked about last time, that we print a bunch of copies of and distribute. But this would be something that we could get on the website pretty quickly, that people could, you know, in PDF format, download and print themselves. Or even, you know, download it to their phone and scroll through it. So I wanted to talk about some potential options for that and how we could start to get the ball rolling. So what I'm going to do, I printed out some different examples. You've seen some of these before, of some different public art maps. So I'm going to pass them around. I've kind of numbered them, and I'm hoping that you can just give me some feedback on them by number and tell me you like it, you hate it, you kind of want this direction, you don't want this direction. So I'll just take some quick feedback on that, and then we can move on to the other part about actually getting our database up to date and accurate, because it has not been updated in quite some time. And we have pieces that we know are out there, but don't necessarily know exactly where and what they are. If they have a title, if they have a you know, a designer, an artist, what their description is, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So first one I'm gonna pass around is a pretty basic type of map with little dots where the locations are, and a basic list. So this is something that could be created, you know, pretty quickly. We'll go this way with this one. Again, this is a pretty simple map, maybe a little bit more street detail with a quick list that you can easily read. It would print out nicely. You could add on to the map.
It's not very arty.
Right, so that we'll talk about that and how arty you want, because then we need to talk about what the process is going to be to do that. Yeah. So just look at them and pass them around when you want. Mm-hmm. Pass them back and forth. We could then, if you had like a first page of just the real basic map, you know, with like a list, then you could have subsequent pages of each piece, or have a page in half, a half page of each piece giving more detail, you know, item number one with a photograph and whatever information we have about it. So it would make for a very, you know, pretty long, if something wanted to print it out, but it would be something people could scroll through. So we have a graphic designer who's on contract with the city. He is just that. He's a graphic designer. He is not an artist. So when you do look at these, please keep in mind what I want to be able to give to him, because he does have some capacity right now. We're lucky that he has some capacity right now to start maybe working something up for us. If you're familiar with the Art and Wind Festival map, it's you know, kind of a basic overview of the park, you know, with different colors, the green, and it has like the shapes of the buildings and so forth. But basically the arty part of it is clip art. You know, it's showing like a balloon where the balloons go off, and the kites where the kites go off. He is not an artist, so I do not believe he has the capability of drawing something. So how arty you want to get, because I think the one that's going around is pretty arty, and it's could have, you know, possibly was hand-drawn. Which one? Who has the
already
one? Oh, yeah, this is kind of the
already. The number, yeah, that would be number 3.
Yeah.
That can pretty much all be done in clip art. Because that stuff is available.
Yeah, he could probably. This is kind of what we really wanted our Art and Wind Festival map to look like. And we haven't been able to get to that level yet, so I'm not sure of his skill level.
Well, I think you can, if you dig far enough and know enough about it, you can find glossaries of each of those little characters. You can.
So if you do really like the more whimsical look, you know, I would give that to him, and I'll try to find some more examples of things that are whimsical and see what he comes up with. I wanted to be able to give to him kind of a range of similar designs that you guys all kind of like. So what he would start with is basically giving us a one-page map with some sort of a legend. And then if we choose to populate other pages with the individual artwork, we can do that, because that's pretty simple. Or he could give me a template for one extra page where I could easily plug in the information we have on the separate pieces. Now keep in mind, this is what we had before, and I don't honestly know who did this, but basically it's just kind of a map of the city.
Yeah, that's
with the dots.
Aerial map with the dots. Yeah,
exactly.
And one of the difficulties is, I mean, we're dealing with, so far, 42 pieces.
Okay, so that's our inventory.
And most of that is in a very small area. So you try to put that many figures into a small area, you're dealing with difficulties of scale.
Right.
You know, because it's, the vast majority of it is from Bollinger Canyon on the west to El Costa on the east, and Crow Canyon to Bollinger Canyon. There's a few that are outside of that, but the vast majority is all in one spot. So they're really so focused, there'd be one one dot on top of another very much. Unless you had a downtown scale.
Unless we take the map and do an inset of a blow up of the area where most of them are concentrated. And that would then, any of those, what you just said, is going to limit the ability to do everything in little cute icons. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to get away with having, where it's a fountain, having a picture of a fountain, because you're going to have pictures of fountains.
I see 1 and 6. Everybody saw 1 and 6. Can I see this one again? I don't get 2.
So I think if we do want it kind of artsy and whimsical,
let's do somewhere.
Then you're going to have to be looking at kind of the background, and maybe putting in a couple of buildings that are, like putting in a city hall, you know, putting in Doherty Station Community Center or something like that. You know, we can pick out some major city buildings or something like that, you know, and put a little cute icon for that. But I'm sure Pat's right, you're gonna be pretty much down to the dot system.
I have a question, because this is news to me. The idea is initially just for a hard flat map or an interactive map on the
website? Well, the interactive map on the website, so it's the committee wanted to go in both directions. So we wanted to have the interactive map on the website and then a link on the website to a one-dimensional PDF that they can print out. With the constraints right now on the people that can assist in doing the interactive map, they're really impacted right now. So I don't have the skill or the software to do that on my own, so I have to rely on some other city staff, and it's going to take some time to get to them and get them to commit to doing it and then, you know, working on it, because they all have other projects. This is a... You know, this is obviously something that's on my plate and in my work plan, but it's not necessarily on the work plan of other staff members. So we have to get fit, you know, we have to kind of squeeze in. And they did indicate to me that they were rather impacted right now. So that's why we decided to kind of at least focus on a flat map, because this is literally the last map we've had, and this was... What did I say in the last meeting? I was not even involved in the system at that point. What was this, Pat? 2000? 2002,
yeah,
I think
like
it was.
Yeah, it was pretty, yeah.
2002, maybe?
Yeah.
And it's,
yes.
Yeah. We don't even have any copies of this anymore. So the other thing that I passed around was and this is out of date. Don't pay attention to the 5/16/2018 on the bottom of the database, because that's obviously just the date I printed it. This has not been kept up. The people that were working on it before just did not have the capacity to keep it up, switch duties, all kinds of things. It hasn't been kept up with. It's fairly close, because since 2010, we haven't added a lot of pieces. We went through a period of having a lot of pieces. Since 2010, we haven't added very many. I know of 5 since that time that are not on here, and probably a couple of more private property that I have to go back and look through all the records of the architectural review board and this committee when we had them come before our committee. The Walgreens Windermere one, that was the relief, right? Yeah, that was the relief. I believe that was the relief.
What number is that?
It's not on here. That's what I'm saying. I have a little list going of ones that I know are not in this database.
The ones that are on here, we have like a 90-something percent that they have not been relocated. Is that correct?
No. No one has looked at this list. No one has gone through this. We'll get to that.
We shouldn't assume that.
We'll get to my idea on that one. But yeah, so some of these things may be gone, especially the ones on private property.
Okay.
They could be gone. You know, the condition, we were keeping up with the condition on them. If they haven't been moved, they should still be there, and I don't know of any that were in such poor condition that they had to be taken down. So they should all pretty much still be there. But I know that the Athendowns Legacy is not on there. That was, I think, 2012. That was by Athens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huddle Up is not on there. The sports park. There was a mosaic. I guess it was a mosaic. It didn't look kind of, it didn't, the pictures I saw of it didn't really look like a mosaic. But it's at the ABC Pet Clinic.
Yeah. I think that was a sidewalk.
Yes, it's in
the
sidewalk.
Oh, okay. Maybe the pictures that they have were marked wrong because I haven't seen
it. North of Crow Canyon on Santa Rosa Valley.
Yeah.
Right. Is that still an ABC Pet Clinic?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
relatively right next to the farmer's market.
Yeah, I think that was 2013 from what I could tell. Then 2016 we had the Walgreens in Windermere. And I have one kind of an outlier that is from 2009, but somehow didn't, from what I can tell, get on this list. And that's, I don't even know if it's there. That's the piece that was out in front of what was America's Tires. Or it is America's Tires. It was the motorcycle, and now it's America's Tires.
It was a Harley Davidson to start with.
There's a sculpture out in front of them. I think it's still there.
It was a motorcycle. I don't know what's there now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I know he's still there. It was there.
He put up a stink. He wanted to keep his motorcycle.
Yeah, no, it's not a motorcycle, but there's.
Is it the one that looks like a Lotus?
The red thing? It's
yes,
red?
Yes, it's red.
Yeah, I think that's it. That's still there.
That replaced the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he got it.
And I believe that was. Well, so 2009 would have been when the motorcycle was put up. That's the records probably that I have, but I don't have any record of when that other thing was put up. I'll have to go back and check on that. So those are the ones that I have found so far. Like I said, there's probably one or two others.
I just started looking to see if I remember any of these.
So that's 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, maybe 48.
And then you'll want to put your utility boxes on there, right?
No, the utility boxes are not permanent. They're not considered permanent.
Yeah. It'd be nice to be able to reference them, even though that might change. That would change.
Yeah, it'll certainly change every 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, but you would be updating it anyway, right?
Permanent, right? Is that how you're qualifying permanent or no?
No, we consider the private property pieces permanent because we've only had one who literally took the piece with them, and that was Harley Davidson. Everybody else, if the businesses have changed, the piece still stays because they consider it kind of part of the development, you know, part of the, if it's a shopping area, no one's taken it with them. So those are considered permanent. I think we did speak in the last time we talked about this was that we did want to have some sort of addendum or addition to having the utility boxes. I don't know if we want to redo the map every few years or that often. That may change because the utility boxes could change even faster than 5 to 7 years. You know, we're not exactly sure of their lifespan right now.
It takes us that long just to pick it.
And we will be adding to it. So I think we did talk about having some sort of an addendum for those. You know, and certainly having a photograph of them on the web and so forth, and we can put their address. But I'm not sure at least, and once we get the hang of the interactive thing, I think we can add things quickly. This map might be a little more challenging to add to. So I'm not sure we'll include them on this particular map. But online, I don't see why we couldn't.
Yeah, we'll all find out at the same time, we're pretty much along the same lines, how long each, and I'm not sure all the boxes are going to last the same amount of time.
Yeah, because we don't know how each artist is really
going
to
apply. Because, they're doing it in the same material, but not with the same, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Some might be better painters than others, or better preparers.
But is it anticipated that there will always be art on those particular utility boxes? It's just that the art may change every few years?
I wouldn't necessarily say that because we'll add new boxes all the time. And as we add new boxes, we may drop some boxes off of the list for a variety of reasons. Things have changed. The configuration of the street has changed. The utilities have moved.
Somebody's really defaced them and they get...
And then we have to put them back to a more, you know, less desirable state to mess up. So it will depend.
Okay.
I guess we're gonna have to really just see how that whole program plays out.
So far, we had a phenomenal response. So whether that's still the case 5 years from now, it's another story. You
know? Yeah, and on that note, your recommendation was wholeheartedly approved by the commission. So we have begun the process of contacting the top five artists and notifying the second five, the alternates, that they're alternates and that they'll get called if we have a space, or they potentially could be called in the near future for a phase two. And then the others were notified, at least right now, that they were not selected. But we have all their information and they will remain in our database and eligible to submit again. Or they could be reviewed again, and their designs. The designs in the 30? So 15. The other designs that were a little bit further down the list, if they were still of good quality, but just the theme, it didn't really fit with what you wanted to put out there now. But maybe a theme that you do in the future, they would fit perfectly. We could even contact that artist and use that, particular design. So. We have a big pool to draw from. So, what's everybody thinking? So, what's everybody thinking about kind of the basics of like a number one? Hated it. I mean, what do you?
It's functional, but
functional,
that's
right?
Not yeah, yeah, it's functional. That's yeah.
It's easy to read. I think it's very clean. It's pretty yeah. with the nice, more along the lines of. So I guess what I would kind of compare it to here, they're kind of numbering the pieces. You have to look for the.
I would say no on the one in your right hand, just because it's too difficult to find things. But it might be a bigger area.
Yeah, it's Charlotte, so yeah. It's a pretty big
yeah,
city.
Yeah, so it's it.
Well, they only have 7.
It kind of depends
well, this
on
is their,
how big our map
yeah.
is.
Right.
Yeah, so pluses and minuses, those, you can, it's a map, and it's a street map,
mm-hmm.
and you can find where the art is on the street, so it's
relatively
good from
easy
a functional
easy.
Point of view, yeah. So, but it's not very creative or artsy.
I think especially if you envision this is a portable vehicle that somebody's using their phone.
Yeah.
That. Print's going to get really, really small.
This, something like this, yeah. as adorable as it is, may not translate well to a phone.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know the majority of people that would actually take the time to go and print it out at home. I think most people would, it would be scaled, they would want it to scale down and use on their phone. So I'm not, we'll have to think about
well,
that.
Well, you don't really, so if you're using it on your phone, on an app, you're not really going to need to see the street map because you're going to perhaps, click on it, so to say, and then you can, your phone will navigate you how to get there.
No, so that's not, that's not what we're talking about.
We can't do that. Okay.
Not right now.
Okay.
Right now we're focusing on something that's literally going to be like a PDF.
Okay.
So don't think about clicking or...
just like a snapshot.
Yeah, because that is what we're talking about doing. When we can get in front of the people that can help us with that.
Okay.
So they can't blow it up.
So just flat.
That's the old-fashioned term. Blow up the image. You can't
yeah.
do that unless it's in...
Well, you can zoom. If it's a PDF,
yeah.
on your phone, you can take a PDF and zoom.
Okay.
But it's you can zoom on your PDF, but you can't then touch it and it'll take you there. It's
right.
not going to be interactive
yeah.
in any way. It's going to be just a dead document.
So if you expand it, will you be able to see that it's on First Avenue and A Street, and then you can go on your phone and navigate.
I wonder
yourself.
If you can piggyback on Google Maps
yeah.
somehow, because Google Maps allows you to zoom in and zoom out on streets. I would not be surprised if there was some way to piggyback on Google Maps.
Well, there are. Those are software programs that cost money.
Yeah.
And hi, come on in. This isn't
yeah.
that isn't
yeah,
something that we have the budget
still,
to do.
Still
that's
too interactive.
Yeah, that's
okay,
that, that's talking about hiring a company. You have to go out
yeah.
to an RFQ and a contract, and that's not in the cards right now. So
okay.
we're looking at doing this in-house. Now,
okay.
if you look at the city's website, there is sorry, I'm spread
that's,
out. I have
that's
to spread out here to take note. If you look at the city's website, the trails map is what I would refer you to.
Mm-hmm.
So that is kind of what we'll get. Now, we will make it look prettier, You know, we will, in theory, be able to, you know, touch on it and then, you know, have a photograph come up and all those kind of things. But basically, the bones of what we're going to be able to do is what that trail map is.
Okay. That's,
so your answer, if you, if we have a PDF document, when you zoom, it will not, it won't scale. So you won't, it's not like a Google Maps where you zoom and you zoom down to street level. You're going to just zoom and make this little piece bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's what Pat was talking about. The print has to be very clear.
But we have 40, maybe 50 pieces of art.
Yeah, maybe 48, 50. Yeah, that's, yeah, because the things that we have listed in the database are what we consider in our public art policy. That's what we consider public art, permanent.
So,
they're fountains and
so that
permanent
creates a
features.
Challenge for either of those two that you just showed, because if you have a list, that's going to create a challenge for listing all of those items to have 50 separate
yeah, it won't
items.
Be on one
it
page.
Will all take up the whole page, let alone a map.
Yeah.
So it might be better to have a little icon for a statue or like a little mosaic drawing or even just letters that indicate what type of art is there.
Or even the number, the two-digit number.
Yeah. So here's what the trails map looks like online.
Have you pulled it up on yours, Donna? We looked at it when we had that little presentation.
It's a lot of text, and it's almost like just a PDF, it's like a brochure that they just put in PDF form here. But there's also an interactive map for trails, too.
Right. And that's okay.
And that's in the future.
That's
yeah,
what
no,
we'll
I,
get to.
No,
okay.
Yeah. No, Mary,
it's a lot of stuff.
That's what we'll get to.
Yeah, so something with all the little, or even that in your hand, there's going to be too many to use that.
Yeah. So what I think you're right. So I think we probably need, at this point at least, to stick to a fairly simple map with a list, and then, as I said, what we could do is he could create then, or I can create a template that then you have other pages you can scroll through to look at the details. So you can, you know, you have a number one on here, and you have just a little list. And then the net you can scroll in your next page is number one and number two with a whole, you know, half of a page with a picture
or
and the information.
Or
the address.
Or what type.
Yeah, you can. We can include any bit of information. If we were to have a, you know, this size to work with, and we divided it in half, you could have, you know, you would have, 24 pages you'd have to scroll through. So maybe we divide it in fours, and we give each piece a quarter of a page, and you can put plenty of information in there. We could put a little picture.
You could do it by neighborhood, even.
You could put
I think you trying to get too hung up on a single map, a page, it won't fit. The city limits are just too far flung. And, you know, to get from where Huddle Up is over to the fire station on the other end of town, everything would be so small, it would be meaningless. I mean, one thing right on top of the other.
One of the things I was thinking about when you were saying that there's cluster in this area, right? So the middle part of the map is a blow up of that, and then the scale just goes to crap after that. So you have, instead of way over here, it's like an inch, but it's outside the main part of the map. So it looks like a little
little windows.
Well, now keep in mind, so this is basically San Ramon. I'm not saying mm-hmm. it's looking super pretty, you know, we can obviously dress it up, but this is basically San Ramon, and this has 32 pieces of art on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's mm-hmm. doable.
So I think it's very doable.
And on the side of it, is that a list? What's
and
that?
That's, so what they did then was they created, this was never online, this was a printed document. So this was the first page,
yeah,
and they gave a description of each piece, and this was another page, and it was all in a trifold.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But we could do the same kind of thing. You know, we don't create it so it's able to fold, because obviously that's why this looks funky, because it was designed to be folded. But we would just do pages. So I think it's very doable that you can get the city on a map with a short list, and then you have pages after that that have something, you know, obviously more readable than this, but have like a little paragraph and then a little photograph. Mm-hmm. Item number 6 is fingers. It's at this address, created by this person, installed, blah, blah, blah. Here's a picture of number 6.
And there's the missing motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Is it
exactly.
In Dublin now at the Harley?
I don't know.
I don't know where it is.
So you can say there's not going to be any pop-up kind of thing.
Well, so
this is, we're just talking about a flat.
Right now we're just talking about a flat printable map, or something you can PDF download it and just scroll through.
Go ahead.
We are going to be working towards the interactive map, but that's a little down the road because we have to get a bunch of staff involved and people involved.
See, I try to envision, you know, what is someone going to do with this? As I see it, it's if someone is either in the area or going on a hike or whatever, and they want to see what's in this area, then it's got to be something that they can take the area they're going to and say, I want to see what's there. And when you get the whole city on there, and all you've got is a bunch of numbers, and they're so close together, it's not really helpful. I think a blow up of that.
Yeah, like that.
This is Palm Springs.
Oh, wow, that is a...
and, wow.
Yeah.
Now, they have an interactive map, so this obviously isn't their information, but literally, this would be what it looked like if somebody did print it out.
Oh, yeah.
So, to me, what do you think of this?
Busy.
Yeah, what is going on with this?
Yeah. No clue about what is what.
So too tight, right?
It's just not like that.
Okay, so we don't like that.
No.
Yeah, I don't think people, to your point, people are going to be using this to say, I want to go out and look at all the art in San Ramon. I'm going to be hiking on this trail or biking, or I'm going to be shopping in this area.
So what can I say?
And I want something to be able to identify what art is there.
And create a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Well, I think if we had something, I mean, similar to this, now obviously a lot prettier, but if you can see, when this was done, you know, this is Doherty. So obviously we have several other main roads out there, so they would all be added. And we do have a clustering, and I can pass this around again. We do have a clustering, but I think within this scale, I think it's doable. So take a look at that again. I love that. You guys like this, I'm assuming.
It is either here or here.
So what do you think about? Yeah, this is very small area.
Yeah, it would be like the depth.
Otherwise, would call for it.
If we did something separate.
Yeah.
But the art
or the Montevideo school. District,
well,
right?
This is that.
See, that's the thing. Our art is not centered in what we call our downtown. So you'd literally just be randomly picking a neighborhood to pull out. Because look at the map and you can see.
That they would include all the names.
Which would be great in an interactive thing.
Yeah, right. So I'm not sure that this is going to be doable right now.
I think I mentioned in one of the Parks Commission meetings that I'm excited about promoting it to the schools and the art classes and having it be incorporated into curriculum. So, you know, aside from I'm going to hike in this area, Doherty Valley, I want to see what art's there, I see that being a big opportunity for using the map as to say, you know, but then what's required for that, I would think, is like, let's say they're focusing on sculpture or a certain medium.
Right.
That's why the being able to drill down initially with just a link maybe to those little blurbs you were talking about is going to be important, because it loses a lot in the translation when it's just a one little blurb type thing.
So then take a look at this one. They don't have a lot of pieces, and this is a pretty small area.
Yeah.
So once we get the actual map, if it did turn out to be something along these lines and something, you know, combination kind of thing. If we did a simple map, then what comes after the map? Somebody could just print out one page or just look at one page and figure it out from there. We could put as many pages as we wanted after. It's up to the people to scroll through as many as they want.
Yeah.
So we could have on the second page a list by type of art, a list by fountains, a list by sculptures, a list by, you know, we could have different types on a page. We could have another page that says by name, you know, by general neighborhood.
Can I show them this? This actually is, if you click on map for the trails, this is actually what they show you. So the other one is map information.
Is that the parks?
This is the trails. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what they show you, and you can obviously. You can, you know, scroll in.
And it's scalable. So,
scalable.
And that's where you can do it.
And there's
it
a
down.
Key and everything. Yeah.
And we will get to that.
Yeah.
But we've got to just do a...
I would like to see a page that looks a lot like number 6. And I don't know if it's feasible since we have so many pieces. But what I like about number 6 is that there's not a lot of reading. And this is a total generalization. But I think that a lot of people just want to know, oh, this is what it looks like. And I'm interested in it, so I'm going to go find it, versus maybe reading text about it.
Mm-hmm. So it's a visual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they found it and they want to know where it is.
I just wonder if we have too many art pieces to make that kind of format viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it might also look busy and...
Yeah, they have, 15 pieces. Mm-hmm. 17 pieces.
54 is in the
book? 17, and we have probably 48.
Oh, yeah, that could be a lot.
That would be my only concern. I think if we do, you know, the pages after the actual map, we definitely want to put a photograph in.
Yeah.
And we have photographs of almost all of them, if not all. Maybe a couple that we lost along the way. But we have photographs, and we can take additional photographs. So I definitely think following a simple map, we would have that catalog, you know, of the pieces, the picture, the description, all that information. We can group it, then a list of sculpture, you know, we can a list of fountains. We can sort it in any way we want.
Well, even on the Nina. But even on that, where it has the description or the words on the right side.
Yeah.
You could put a categorize small. Them mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. You know, just quickly. Sculptures, 1, 7, 13.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or you could just, instead of putting these numbers here, if you want to visually attract someone, you could just use those little icons, maybe like a fountain or a sculpture, just to show that that's what it is, instead of just putting numbers.
I could have him work something like that,
that
up.
That way you can...
To see if it's too... If it depends. We were talking about...
Hopefully,
we have several that, like in this area, they're really concentrated.
Right.
So I'm not sure how well an icon would show up.
Right.
But I could, I'll have them do a couple of versions. We can certainly say, hey, give us one with, you know, numbers, and give us one if you can with little icons.
Is there a universal icon for art?
Like a dot, you know, but I was thinking like fountain, a paintbrush, a dancer.
International symbol.
There's that graphic for dancer kind of thing. Is that what
you're referring to? Yeah, and I was just trying to think out loud, is there something universal that you could use? Because I think there is, I love the idea. I love the idea of the little icons, but I think it could get a little busy. But I think what drew me to 4 was just that it sort of was the list and number format, but it had a little bit of flair to it, you know what I mean? And I think the look and feel, I think Marianne's right, like the realities of the formatting are glaring, but the look and feel, I'm hoping that there's some opportunity to make it, you know, a little bit of artsy, if that makes sense.
Yeah, curious.
Well, that's why I set it down.
Yeah.
You mean this is 4.
Okay, wait a minute. Maybe
that's your Palm Springs one.
Yeah, not the Palm Springs one. I lied.
It's number 9.
Is it 9? Okay, wait a minute.
Sorry.
No, it was 3, sorry. I put my numbers backwards. I mean, this one's sort of a list, but I see that it's got some restrictions with how many art pieces we have.
Yeah, but I like that
through fonts and colors, it was a little bit more snazzy.
Yeah, it looks like an old world kind of feel.
Well, you can do the numbers in different colors too, and the different colors.
Right.
Represent
different types of.
These are just pieces of
statues or blue
or
whatever.
Yeah, color coded. Yeah, that's how this one is.
All the mountains are blue.
Because I think they have some...
Or purple.
Right.
Or maybe they're just... all
everybody colors. Knows that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But like I said, we can, you know, I'll send him kind of the things we like, and, you know, he'll obviously, he's done, you know, kind of maps like this before. He'll be able to recognize pretty quickly what the limitations are as far as how big we can get the numbers, if we can put them as little icons.
Marion, is this the same guy that we worked with through Nicole for the San Juan 150 stuff?
Sean?
The culture in the community thing?
Yeah, Sean.
Okay. So my only feedback on my experience with that is he doesn't think outside of the box.
Yeah, and that's
okay. So I think you guys are artistic people, and I would just say, you know, I mean, obviously, this is just my experience. I'm not trying to influence direction here, but just to he tries to, I think, somewhat adhere to a brand that the city has, you know, with the blue and kind of a consistent brand. And I would just say, be really clear with him about what you guys think it should be. That's fair for me.
Yeah, and it's going to be a process. So, you know, the first ideas we're going to get, you know, we'll have to go through those and make changes specific. We want it this color. We need this section bigger. Please put this road in because it's missing, or we don't like the fonts, we don't like the numbers. So, we'll have to go through that a lot more. At this point, though, I could just give him some ideas of kind of what we like, and in writing what our, you know, what the goals are, what we're trying to accomplish.
So there are a bunch of icons here that we can, you know, like paintbrush or a paint palette for painting, and what else was on here?
So you could ask him, like you were saying, Maria, to do a version with some different icons, and then do a version with the straight, just
number.
With just the numbers.
Seven, three,
that's
color codes.
Yeah.
The red was traffic control boxes, blue was sculptures, green was the murals,
also colorful. Mm-hmm.
And sidewalk poetry was yellow.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I think it makes it look colorful too.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah, it's
certainly an improvement over that.
Yeah, an improvement over some of them.
Good, yeah. I actually like that.
Okay, so the next, I think I can get him hopefully started on something. And then at the next meeting, when we meet next, we'll have we'll have a starting point anyway. And I might then have some more information about how close we are being able to start working on the interactive map.
Exciting.
In the meantime, I am going to put out there that this would be, as this is a committee project, with the staff doing kind of the backbone, the work on it. I would like to get the committee members to commit to dividing up our list, and in the next couple of months, visit your items on your list to see if what we have on there is still valid, to see if they're still there. if the description, you don't need to worry about obviously the artist, the name, we've got it if we know it. But if the location is off, it would be nice if it's accessible. We do have dimensions on most of them. I'm not sure dimensions are necessary because we'll have photographs of all of the items. But mostly I would be looking at location and description to make sure that those are accurate. And then also examining the condition. I don't want you all having to crawl through, you know, branches and trees, but giving an overall condition. Oh, wow, it's half of it's broken off. You know, it's not moving anymore. The wind dancers aren't dancing. The paint is chipped off. Whatever, it's rusted. It's gone. to give us an idea if that would be something that the committee would be willing to commit to. Just over the next couple of months, divvying them up, and then reporting back on your findings, so we can get the database accurate, or as accurate as possible, because it's not going to do our graphic designer much good
if he puts
them in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Doesn't know where they are. What I will have him do, what I will do is send him the list that we have now. Get him to start on what the map would look like. And maybe just, you know, he doesn't need to put in the information about the pieces, but give us, you know, the color, give us the color number of approximately where it is on the map. Give us the icon approximately where it is on the map. And then we can go back and refine those details, but at least it'll give him something to start with. I don't want to wait a couple of months to give him something to work on. So I want to get him started, and then hopefully those two things can kind of come together, and then we can continue to give him revisions. So I believe I've got what's on this.
We divvy it up one page a piece.
Once I've got what's on this list, which is 42, and then I think I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more.
There's about 9 on each
page. So how many is 9 on each page around there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Just happens to add up.
So if we give the last, do we have 5 pages? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I could give, whoever wants to take the, if you want to do it that way, whoever wants to take the last page could take these 4 that are on my list that have dropped off.
Okay. Do you have more copies of that?
They're all up here.
Mr. Chairperson, do you want to sign each of us a page number?
Yeah, this isn't something we have to vote on or anything. It's just...
I think that
could be very easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to sign this? Everybody get the copy?
Oh, actually, as long as everybody has one, let me give one to Will. I want to hang on to so.
I unfortunately, on this list, they're pretty random. I'm not necessarily convinced that they're by location. I don't honestly know what this person, how they did it.
Okay.
So I can't really.
Yeah, by location would be convenient, but I think it would take us too long to divide the list that way. So
yeah.
Can't really.
Nothing's that
right now. Yeah.
I can't really tell where they all are.
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me like the oldest ones seem to be on page 2. So, probably I was involved in more of those than the others, so I'll take page 2.
I'll take 1.
I'll do 3.
You too? Okay. 4. I'll do the 4.
Okay, so you have to give me the ones that are.
Okay, so Pat's going to take 2, Christina's going to take
1,
Donna's going to do 3,
and do 4.
Glenn is doing 4, and then Jenna, do you want to take 5?
I'll take 5, and your extra list.
And my list, okay. Let me get the addresses of these for you, and I'll email it to you. I'm not going to make you try to figure that out, because you're a very busy woman. This is everyone.
I don't know
but...
where anything is.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this will be...
Well, this will be good. Yeah. You'll get to
this
find
them. This will be fun for Jenna.
Yeah.
This is like when I first joined the Parks Commission. We were naming a park, and they're like, oh, you should check out the Pioneer Cemetery down in Dublin and look at the Pioneer names, which there are a lot of them there. And so... You know, at the time I'm like gung-ho and brand new and everything, and I'm like, sure, I'll go down there, and I go down there. I'm thinking to myself, since then I've seen all the documents I could have looked at with all the Pioneer names, and I always assumed it was an amazing place. It wasn't, of course, but I was like, what is this guy? Is this for the new person? So Jenna, maybe that's you. No, I'm just kidding.
It'll be a fun way for you to get to know.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Your own tour of the city.
Yeah. I think the most difficult one is going to be Bishop Ranch 15. Bishop Ranch is intimidating. It's like, okay, where is number 15?
idea.
Yeah, those numbers, I gave up on them a long time ago.
Yeah, their numbering system is rather nonsensical.
Well, there was a reason. I'm trying to remember Alex Sr., when he gave a speech, once he said there was a reason why it was just the way it was built. And I can't remember specifically, but there was a reason why the numbering system's a little out of whack. So
it goes hand in hand with the Winchester House, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, two was one of the first buildings. In fact, I think two was the first.
So it was
and one was the last.
When they have money built.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Go figure. And two was no longer there. So.
Oh, is that the one they tore down?
That's the one they tore down.
They call that 2A.
Well, thank you for your assistance with this. So we'll move the process forward. And again, feel free, any comments as you're looking at these things, questions, you're lost, you don't know what's, you know, email me or contact me. Yeah, we need the map.
Google it.
For next Heartland Festival, it would be neat if we could have like an art booth, and I know we have a city booth, but I almost feel like it would be a good unveiling of the art map and maybe have some pictures up or something, just like a booth at the Art Wind Festival to highlight art in San Ramon.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just a dedicated booth. Yeah. And I think we know the people who are involved with making that happen.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. We should be pretty far along there, and maybe we get some. We do have photographs of most of the items. Oh, the other thing I would suggest is if you are there, and it seems to be decent condition, snap a photo, snap a couple photos, please, and save those because I may not have photographs for all of them. And it'd be nice also to compare the photographs that I do have that were taken some time ago with any new ones that you get.
I mean, I love the City Hall, City Booth that we do for the Art Month Festival, but I think things get lost. There's so much information overload.
Yeah, there is.
And I mean, that's okay for what it is, but I think this would merit a special booth, and you guys could take turns, whoever's on the Arts Advisory Committee, sort of promoting the arts in the city.
Yeah, I think that's
that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be a nice, well, it's kind of the end of the school year, but I was thinking of somehow like a kickoff to
highlight some
upcoming
arts programs
upcoming
in the city.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas that we can do with it. It's a very worthwhile project, I do believe. So thank you for that. Okie dokie.
Okay. Staff member items, 2018 Art and Wind Festival entertainment schedule.
Okay, so speaking of the Art and Wind Festival, attached to your packet is the schedule. So I just wanted to point that out to you and remind you that this is the city signature festival every year. We do take pride in making it a very art saturated event, performing art for the most part, obviously, but there is obviously some visual arts with our gallery. So this, and we do try to make it very multicultural and for all ages. So this would be a perfect opportunity. I would encourage you to try to come part of a day. It is very important to get feedback from this committee on what you saw, good, bad. Couldn't hear it, didn't like it. Any comments that you have are very helpful to us in planning for next year. So just some very quick highlights this year. We always try to open, the Chevron is our main stage. We try to open that the late morning, early afternoon with a family friendly. So we have Andy Z and the Andy Land Band. So he's a very vivacious, outgoing, fluffy, adorable characters. A lot of fun things for kids. And then we have a really, this will be fabulous, hopefully for people getting out there and dance. We've got a Bollywood and Bhangra dance and music DJ and some live performers that are coming. So that should be fun. And then we always close out the day typically with a party band because people really want to dance by then. Monday we're opening up with our traditional taiko drumming, and then we go into something a little different, kind of mellow, Americana and bluegrass. We haven't had, I can't remember in many years that we've had an Americana group. Hi there. So that's kind of fun to bring that music to everyone. We'll have our Memorial Day program, and then again we go into kind of a dance and party band. The amphitheater stage is one where we really focus on multicultural performances, and a lot of those are dance performances of all different types. Different types of Indian dance performances, some more like ballet, and they don't do tap, but we do have some kind of jazz, and then we have some demonstrations as well. And then the El Costa side is our smaller stage, and that's where we kind of have our smaller community groups. So a lot of those are in-house groups, like Steve Kreitzer. He teaches our ukulele class. We have...
we are performing.
Yes, you are. that is...
Yeah, which Angelis.
Yeah.
So. I'm performing too.
Hi. Monday at 2:30.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, so Sunday. Again, one of our in-house groups, so we really try to highlight a lot of our in-house groups. So that's on that stage. And then for the kids and families, again, we have our puppet stage, which is puppets all day long, different performances, different shows. And then for the visual arts, we have our art gallery exhibit. Again, if you haven't had a chance, please, upstairs and downstairs. This guy is incredible. His work is just so incredible, so fascinating. And it is getting rave reviews. We're getting a lot of people going through. I think he had 65 people at his gallery opening. He sold a lot of pieces. Very, very popular. People are really loving it. So take a look at that. And he'll be here Monday afternoon to sign the Art and Wind Festival poster, which is the artwork that you guys selected. So he'll be signing posters and chatting with people. He's a real character, so... fun guy to talk to. So that's kind of a highlight of the arts that will be shown at the Art and Wind Festival.
Okay.
So if we could stay on that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Today I got an East Bay Yelp email from Yelp, because I get East Bay Yelp stuff. And all these different festivals were listed. So I was looking for ours. There is a San Ramon Art and Wind Festival page. It hasn't been, nothing's done with it. I don't think anybody's owned it.
Oh, perhaps.
From us.
Yeah.
But people have reviewed it. The last one was a year ago, which makes sense. So I don't know if that's something we would want to do, is own a Yelp page.
We don't have a media partnership with them. We have a media partnership with a bunch of other media groups. So we have one with Danville San Ramon and danvillesanramon.com. All of the East Bay newspapers, we're purchasing a large digital package, so they're pushing out through their channels, and also the print newspapers that they still do. KKIQ is one of our media sponsors as well, so they'll start running promotions as well. So those are the media partners. It changes every year. Typically for social media, we use our own platform, our own Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram. And we have scheduled, I think we've already had at least one Facebook post, the tweets. We have a whole long schedule of tweets that will be going out this week, next week, and in each day of the festival. And we have a whole series of Facebook posts and Instagram, those all kinds of posts that will be going out too.
And when you get really hungry, I'll be selling street tacos. And if you get bored, you can come help me sell street tacos.
Okay. Performing Arts Presenting Series.
All right, so I attached, and that, apologies, is that, that's what took up so many pages for those of you that did print it out, but that's just the way the survey printed out. So every year before we put together the presenting series, so this is the major performers that we have at the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center, we send out a survey. It is sent out to staff members, commissions, councils, people that have bought tickets before, a lot of different audiences. And I just wanted to share with you the results just so you could see where they're at. So this is not who's going to perform. You cannot look at this and say, oh, Art Garfunkel got the most and we're going to have Art Garfunkel. What this is this is a tool that our staff and Venue Tech use together to try to book these groups, these performances that are most popular. But again, it's a huge, and I know some of you who have been on the committee a while have had a presentation by Judy in Venue Tech, and she describes the craziness of how they put all the pieces together to try to get these performers.
That's
and
really good.
And she's coming.
There's only a couple of us that have seen that.
Yeah, I have her, I've put in a request to have Judy come in the fall. To give, because she's right now really into getting this done. So I have her scheduled to come in the fall to give everybody, again, an overview. And she can tell you some really great stories of some of the artists and the weird things that they request, and a lot of them do. But she can give you a good overview of what it takes to put the series together, because consider all of the venues that are all in this area, and they're all, these people are churning around in these different circles and visiting these different venues at different times. So to mesh
zones and
exactly. So to mesh all the schedules together is challenging. So they do use this survey though as a tool. So I think it's been a couple of years. So I've asked for her to come this fall. So okay, so your first category is your pop adult contemporary, and you can see Art Garfunkel, Los Lobos. You can go through the list and see the most popular groups. None of my choices ever make it up there. So this again is a guideline that she'll use, and if you want to, you can obviously break it down to percentages, and you can look at some of the other people that were written in. R&B is the next category.
I'm always amused by the people that A, request things we've already had recently.
Because they haven't gone.
Yeah, like Jim Brickman, Eddie Money, Rick Springfield, Casey and Sunshine Band, America, and then the other ones that request groups like the Eagles.
Yeah, they're not, you know, some of them are deceased.
Well, but,
they're not around
anymore. Actually, the Eagles are going to go again. But they still have 20,000 seats.
Yeah,
arenas.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right, so again, these things are kind of...
This is not a schooled audience.
Yeah.
We're talking about the public.
It is, and you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt with the survey results. But they're participating.
Yes.
So that's the good thing.
Not on here.
They're engaged.
I'm surprised the Beatles didn't show.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can see on there... Yeah, Barbara Streisand Tribute Act. Sorry, I was thinking, whoa, you're really grasping for straws if you think we're going to get Barbara Streisand.
He's
quitting. Yeah, end of his touring.
Right.
So your R&B is listed there. Tower of Power. They're actually local, so they're always popular.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so they came out on top there. For those of you that are, you know, my age group, Billy Ocean, he's pretty old. Aaron Neville, woo, he's getting up there.
My philosophy on those. If they're touring, you better see them now, because they're not going to be touring 10 years from now. I mean, Judy Collins is what, 78?
Yeah,
79?
That was a phenomenal show.
And she had a wonderful show, but she's not going to be touring 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So if you didn't see her,
I just saw Bonnie Raitt this last year, and she has not lost it.
Really? She's good?
Voice is perfection, exactly the same, and she looks
really good.
Yeah.
I have tickets to Elton John's final tour.
I'm lucky you.
Wow.
All right.
That'll take deep in the wallet for that.
That'll be good. So you can see jazz is a category also. Branford Marsalis, Sergio Mendez, he even alive still? Kenny G.
Yeah.
He's old. He's out there. My vote.
Just the age of Sam.
Yeah, well, you'll see at the end of the survey,
you'll see the age
you'll see
that
the ages. You'll see the ages, so. On a quick side note, I would encourage any of you who haven't seen Jake Shimabukuro to go see him.
Okay.
He's amazing.
Okay.
He's an amazing performer. He's going to be at the Mountain Winery, I think. He's actually, I don't want you to be tainted by this, Jake Shimabukuro. He's an ukulele player, but he plays contemporary and rock songs on a ukulele, and it's mind-blowing.
It's electric.
Mind-blowing. He's so talented. He's so good. He's young. He's really good. Anyway, side note. That was my vote. Okay, moving on again. You'll just quickly go through these. Your country artists. That's always a list that we put out there to try to have a good variety of people. Tribute acts are always popular, so we got a lot of list of tribute there. We will have actually July 4th a fabulous tribute group, Michael Jackson, Foreverland. And they're really good. So they're going to be here July 4th, and you can see that for free. Now, I want to point out question number 6, because I have a staff member who is working on this right now. Which of the following special special attractions is number 6. Comedy, Roseanne Barr. She probably scored pretty high. And then it was this one, excuse me. Question number 8, the speaker series. So I have a staff member that's working right now on a proposal for a speaker series. So, it looks like it would be something that the majority of people at least would be interested in attending if we get some, compelling speakers. So I do have a staff member that's working on that.
I think that'd be great because right now I think the closest one is Berkeley.
No, Walnut Creek.
Lesher, I think, has,
But you can't buy tickets.
They're season tickets.
They're sold out, and
you
have to get on the list.
$20,000.
So we do have a staff member working on developing that now. The earliest we would see it is not this upcoming budget cycle, because that's already going to be happening in July. So it would be July of 2019. That's what we're shooting for, is to have a program in place and budgeted, with some sponsorship. We're looking at the foundation and some other, places to partner to get a speaker series. So I just wanted to draw that to your attention. And then we have the more statistical questions: how many shows, how do you learn about it, and again, mentioning what the age group is. So good information. We will use that to develop the presenting series, which is happening as we speak, and when the presenting series schedule is finalized, I will obviously bring that to you.
So Marianne, did we get good feedback from artists and performers about their experience in San Ramon, and do we ever have trouble bringing them back when we want to repeat? I mean, I imagine, of course, they would have a lovely experience here, but...
I honestly can't answer that question. I don't know. I've never...
Ask Judy. That's a quick question.
Yeah, that would be a fabulous question to ask Judy. She would know that, because she works directly with the artists.
Yeah, I mean, for parks providing oversight and so forth, I think we need to know that and know if there are areas where we can make positive change or where we need to support. Yeah. So I would be interested to see if they have any challenges.
We have a lot of challenges, but it's mostly with scheduling. I should point out that, and I do not know the results or even if they are finalized, but we did just recently go out for an RFQ for a company to run the theater.
For scheduling it?
Yeah, Venue Tech is the company that we have now. So contracts are only allowed to be in place for a certain amount of time. We have to, as a public agency, be responsive to taxpayers. So periodically we have to go out for, to request new proposals to make sure that we are getting the best value for the taxpayers' money. So that's all, that process just recently happened. I don't have any idea if they've been graded or selected or anything has been done yet, but be aware.
When is the period of the current contract end?
I honestly don't know, because I don't manage that particular contract, but I think that the contract might be a year-to-year and not a fiscal year-to-year, because...
Yeah, it can't be.
Because they're planning the presenting series right now, so they can't really do that if they're not with us. But I believe the last RFQ that we did, we only had one response. Mm-hmm. Even though we work very diligently to get the information out to many companies as we can.
Venue Tech or Venue Tech? Mm-hmm. Just Venue Tech.
Yeah. Okay. So I have no idea if that's the case again.
They're running 4 or 5...
They operate a lot of the...
The theaters for ourselves.
Mid-size, that type of size theater in the area. So, but again, I can't say what happened.
Which actually works to our benefit, because they can book them at one place on Saturday and the next place on Sunday.
And that's part of all that dance that they do to try to get people in. So that's where we're at.
Okay, upcoming events for June.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just marking down time here so I get it right. Your list of upcoming events, as we always have. And I want to point out and pass this around. This is our very own... committee member who has her an event coming up. It is not on this particular list because it is happening at the Cowell Theater. San Francisco International Arts Festival at the Cowell Theater on June 3rd. So, oh, well, perfect. We'll just pass those around. I'm going to put that out. So, the art galleries are listed, and you had asked me, Heidi, about the City Hall Gallery, the traveling exhibition, California's Wild Edge. It's a traveling exhibition that will feature prints and poetry and some of the printmaking tools. So that's our very first ever traveling exhibition in the City Hall Gallery. We've had some smaller ones at the out at Forest Home Farms, but this is our first one here. So you can see the other artists that we'll have coming in here is Mary Claire Stotler, who has mixed media. And then we have Vidra, who has paper mache, so kind of a wide variety here. Upcoming events, through the summer now, with the presenting series over, most of this is kind of a little bit of a slower time at the theater, real heavy on some performance-type shows and rentals. And for events in June, we are also in a transition phase because we are pushing heavily right in June for all of our summer camps and classes and programs geared towards summer. So our events are a little bit lighter, and we've just finished the Wind Festival, obviously, in June. So we do have, on June 2nd, all of our dance classes, or almost all of them, that were invited and have decided to participate are doing a huge recital out at the Doherty Valley Performing Arts Center. This is something that's geared, obviously, towards a lot of the parents and the grandparents and the family that want to come and see children, and we have some adults performing as well. So family members can come and see. It is free, so it's really fabulous. This is something that's run by one of my staff members, Erica, and she her background is in dance, and she and the folks at the theater do a fabulous job putting it on, and all the teachers. It's a lot of work, and it's a great, fun, free event.
Oh, is it? It's 11:30 a.m. or 11:30 p.m.?
I think it's $10.
Oh, I thought.
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, we could have that wrong. I apologize. I didn't.
And the time says p.m. 11:30 p.m.
Oh,
and
it's 11:30 a.m. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I'll have to look.
Children up.
I know.
What kind of show are you doing?
What kind of show are you doing?
Yeah, actually, I do think there is an admission for it now that I think about it because So I apologize.
That's pretty low.
Yeah, it's very reasonably priced. So I would encourage you to go. The Community Chorus has their Fiddler on the Roof concert at the Front Row Theater. That is free. Seating is limited, though, 90 seats approximately in the front row theater.
I'm not doing a solo, though. Okay. I'll just stand back there and smile.
Well, that's good.
So that's one of our in-house groups that always performs for free. So free art, free beautiful music, really enthusiastic, talented people that you can see for free in San Ramon. And then we start at the end of June one of our traditional summer events. We have three outdoor movies throughout the summer. This is the one that is not wet. It is in the Central Park Amphitheater right out here. It's the movie Sing. The following two, subsequently in July and in August, will be dive-in movies at each one of the pools. So you get to see the free movie while sitting on a floaty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yes. And again, these are free.
I had no idea what you meant by wet.
Yeah, they are free. They are fun, and they're really fabulous. We always get movies that are pretty contemporary.
Fabulous movie.
So anyway, you will see.
I'm surprised you're doing it at 8:30 because the sun's. It won't be dark at 8:30.
Well, we do look at the sunset, indeed. So it will be.
Dust.
Close. It will be dusk.
Get them settled and then.
Yeah, and it doesn't always start right at 8:30. We tell people start to be there, get settled before it does get dark, all those kind of things. So that is our list for the month.
Cool. Okay. Are there any commission or council member announcements?
Okay. last night, the council met in a budget workshop. It was the second council budget workshop held. And we reviewed both the operating budget and the capital budget. The combined total is $103 million. Of that, $75 million is operating budget, and the other $28 million is capital budget. The operating budget is balanced. We are not drawing down the reserves at all, which we're very pleased. And I know the staff worked hard, Marianne, thank you very much. I know that that was a challenge for staff to do that, but the budget presented to the council was a balanced budget, and so we are going to adopt it. It'll be formally adopted at the next council meeting. The only kind of fly in the ointment was that the infrastructure maintenance fund is actually underfunded going forward. It's got enough money. It's the money we use to replace the carpet in buildings like this or repair the air conditioner or paint the walls. It's a little underfunded going forward. We had asked staff to prepare a program that over 5 years, it will still have a positive balance through 5 years, and it actually runs out in about 2 years. So it has enough money now to do the job, but if we don't fund it better going forward, we run out in about two and a half years, and our program was designed to fund all the infrastructure. 2 weeks ago, we had the retail strategy. Did you guys have the retail?
No, we haven't.
You were present.
I was present.
Yeah. We had a consultant come and review our retail, both what is in San Ramon and what is what we call leakage. Those retail activities that people leave the city to go. If you want to buy a car, chances are you're going to leave San Ramon because there's only, we've got three car dealers, but they only sell used cars. They sell lease returns. If you're going to buy, there's lots of things. You can't buy a lot of furniture in San Ramon. And so that's called leakage. And so that's one of the things they evaluated. The other thing they evaluated was what was at each of our shopping centers, how healthy are those shopping centers, and what was the zoning on each of the shopping centers. And in that review, we had four of our shopping centers are what we call mixed use. Meaning that in the future, a developer could come in and say, tear out some of the retail and replace it with housing. And right now, housing is the highest and best use of any land. You put a house on it, you can sell that, as you all know about your own housing situation. So the land is actually more valuable as residential than it is as retail. And so they told us to remove the mixed-use designation from our four best shopping centers. That's the Gateway Center, the Lucky, down at the south end. The Safeway Center, which is called Diablo Plaza. The Target Center
at Bishop Ranch.
And then the Shops at Gale Ranch, the Safeway out there. We currently have all four of those have mixed use on them, and they said, that's not a good idea. Take the mixed use off of those. The other places where we had mixed use, we have to be careful how we manage that. It's not an unlimited thing, but they gave us some other advice on how to improve the retail at those four centers by having relaxing some of the parking standards, adding permit for entertainment so they could have little concerts, live music in their parking lots if they want, food trucks, they could have little festivals in their shopping centers if they want, and so that generates more traffic into those centers and hopefully higher retail and higher value into those centers. So we're looking at doing most of those kinds of things.
And who was this that came in?
It's a consulting kind of truth. There was two
retail
consultants.
Retail consultants.
Yeah, these are people who do retail. That's what they do. They showed us examples in other cities that have had similar situations. You can't put Santana Row everywhere. That doesn't work. But a shopping center that has a grocery store in it, has an anchor, has a function, and you need to support that function and the ancillary functions that go with it. And try not to do disruptive things to that. You want to try and do things that enhance it. So they gave us some ideas on how to do that. And so over the next 18 months, you'll see if you may or may not be paying attention, but we will be seeing opportunities for changing our general plan to enhance those centers. So going forward.
And that's the four most profitable centers.
Those are the four centers that function best as retail centers. We have other little centers around, and give me an example. You know where Shaboom is, mm-hmm. and you say those could be what they call commercial mixed use, meaning allow for more office functions there, not necessarily retail functions there. But that center has always struggled with occupancy. There's an empty bank in there now, and some of the upstairs suites are empty, and so they've struggled over time, and we've put some restrictions on their ability to be as functional as they can, and so there's opportunities for enhancing those places.
Second story always struggles.
So yes,
it does. Problem. And they had construction issues early on, like yes. major construction. Yeah.
So we're also looking at in the north, Crow Canyon, the area north of Crow Canyon, centered around the corner where Fostoria, Deerwood, Old Crow Canyon, Omega is. That's where the Masons, Morgan's Masonry is there. And across the street from that is an empty lot. Across the street from that is, it's got a swimming pool and a whole bunch of funny little businesses in there. Steve Cortese owns that, and then on the other corner is a church. I think it's a Korean church. That would be the focus, if you will, of residential in that neighborhood. As you know, there's already the outpost. They're going to be building 190-unit residential where the outpost is. And Morgan's has asked some questions about building residential there. They're looking at moving Morgan's Masonry to Livermore. The land that they're on is very, very valuable, and the land that they would use in Livermore is far less. And they could move from one to the other and make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
We've said not unless there's a little auto shop in the corner, and if the auto shop doesn't play, we're not going to let Morgan's change, because we don't want to have a residential project kind of overlooking this auto shop. You get it all, you get nothing.
Is that German Auto? Is it that one?
No. It's right there at the corner of right across the street from Outpost.
Oh, are you talking about the parts place? Auto parts or no?
No. It used to be a tire store.
Oh, okay.
It's on the west side of Santa Mona Valley Boulevard, the north side of Fostoria.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's that corner in right in, it's tucked into Morgan's, and there's a little auto.
Used to be a firehouse.
Well, that place. Yeah. I think it's owned by the Pioneer family that ran the general store, Ferreras, right?
It was a firehouse and
still owned by the Ferreras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brother,
one of the brothers. So, and we said not unless that is part of the project. It'd just be too weird to take all of Morgan's Masonry, turn it into residential, and then have this little auto shop.
Yeah.
So, things are moving along. The one all the way down on the boulevard, which used to be, it was a budget rented car before that, it was Wicked Eye. That one's going up nicely. That's going to be, it's going to be budget rented car up the hill, and then it's going to be Sherwin-Williams paint and O'Reilly Auto Parts down on, towards the boulevard.
That's one of the public art pieces.
Yes, that's one of the public art pieces we did. They had the pseudo mural sculpture in the corner.
Out from Martinez or someplace.
Yeah, that
did a
we looked at that almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just, you reminded
me. We wanted to incorporate the Wicked Eye in there.
It's right on the corner. It's a sculpture.
What do you say? Is it a
relief?
How do you say that? It's a
bas-relief,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That, I was trying to find that in what year we saw that, so I have to look
that
one up.
2 years ago.
At least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Is Mayor Clarkson going to insist that they leave the countertop?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, the mortgage mystery countertop? Yeah, yeah. We'll make sure that doesn't disappear.
That can't leave the town, the city.
So that's kind of, those are some of the things. Well, in the Ulta, yeah, they're going to be tearing down the old Max's Diner in Ulta, be going in their beauty supplies and things like that, salon.
That's what they're going to do.
Oh, they lose her.
We're way past.
Yeah, you're not excited about that, Pat?
We need Ultra, not Loser.
That center is really struggling as well.
Yeah.
Because the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, it burned and then they.
And then they never reopened. Yeah.
Right. But you know the rest of the place, if you're going to Fat Patty's.
Yeah.
Where
are you talking about?
See's Candy.
See's Candy.
Oh, yeah.
That's
where the Bullwinkle is.
The pet store, Pet Express, or whatever.
Yeah. Baskin Robbins is there. Fat Maddie's, try it.
That's where the Bullwinkle was the artist.
There's Togo's and a sushi roll. My kids like that. Sorry, we digress.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, would you like a little
commission?
Parks commission time?
Mr. Chairman?
You have anything to add?
I was just going to give you...
Can you top this?
I have to report back to Mr. Dorley that I've done my due diligence, so don't get me in trouble. Okay, so we actually had two meetings at our last meeting day, May 9th. We've been touring a lot of facilities as a Parks Commission, kind of getting a feel for them and, you know, looking at the different issues surrounding them. And this last time we went to the Woodlot, which is the San... Do you pronounce it Cantagno or Cantagno?
San Cantagno, I think.
Is it Cantagno? Okay, Creek Park. And it's up Bollinger Canyon, and it's a beautiful... You've toured it yet.
Oh, yeah, I know it. Yeah.
It's a gorgeous 7-acre spot, lots of beautiful trees, and lots of bugs, because I must have been tasty, because I came away completely bug-bitten. But anyway, just to take a look at it as we enter in, I'm sure Will's mentioned to you guys we're entering into a review of the park's master plan. And so, you know, we wanted to sort of get to know it, learn a little bit more about the history of it. It was funny, apparently, there was a bunch of social media comment that they saw us all up there and they thought we were developers. There was speculation that we were developers. We're like, no, we're just taking a tour, people. We're just taking a tour. So anyway, nothing decided. It was an agendized meeting, so anybody could have joined us. If ever you see something like that and you want to join us, please feel free. Just a sneeze. Okay. The other thing was we did hear from our teen council. They gave us our annual report. You guys know what our teen council is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They kind of advise the city on teen issues, give teens a voice, and so forth. So they're wrapping up. We did get an update on capital improvement programs. So this guy is the expert on all the budget stuff. So he's a good person to talk to. But you know, I think some of the things that the Parks Commission looks at is the fact that we have approximately 60 parks and they're all aging and there's a lot of cost tied to maintaining those. And so, you know, when we look at parks that are not yet developed, we need to keep that in mind. So our staff keeps us up to date. As you know, we approved the utility box design, so that was neat. Everybody's really excited because Erica had all the visual images and stuff. So that was, anytime we get pictures, we enjoy it. So we're kind of a visual group, I think. So that was fun. And then we did review some major action plans for 2018-19 for the department, and I did highlight a couple. The staff didn't drill down terribly too deep because there were lots of action items, but there were a couple that she highlighted that I wanted to mention to you guys because I think it's relevant to what you do. One is to develop a community grant program to provide support for multicultural events, specifically funded by the Cultural Growth Fund. So I know that you guys have been involved with the Cultural Growth Fund, and so I feel that that's a great thing, is to move in that direction, multicultural events. And then along that same vein, expanding the Culture in the Community event. Did any of you guys go to the Culture in the Community event that was here? It was yes. Awesome. Marianne was very intimately involved with that as well. And the Art and Wind Festival, by developing new partnerships with multicultural community groups to highlight all of the different cultures represented in San Ramon. Now, that's probably old hat for folks like Marianne that have always tried to do that, but I think it makes a statement that there's a real commitment to celebrate inclusion and diversity and to celebrate all the cultures that are represented in our community, and so I just wanted to highlight a couple of those. So it's the cyclical planning of the money and the activities and the events and the programs and so forth, and it's exciting. I think we have a lot to be proud of here. So.
You know, in the capital budget, you mentioned that a big chunk of our money goes towards the swimming pools and the parks and the what we call irrigation booster pumps. We're putting a couple hundred thousand dollars into irrigation booster pumps just to keep the fields green in places. And we're putting $650,000 into replacing the carpet out at Tiffany Roberts Field.
The artificial turf. The carpet.
Yes. it's 10, 11 years old.
Well, and we did, you weren't at our meeting, so we do ask about that stuff. Like, that is a huge chunk of change. And the staff is constantly looking at best practices in the area of artificial turf and whether that, in the long run, really does save you money. They lead me to believe that that, in fact, is still a good option. Okay. So things like that. But things like the pool, I will mention. You know, that's such a jewel in the San Ramon Cap, that community pool. It's folks from our city and from all around, but it is a big ticket item to keep that pool in the pristine condition that we like it in and to really have the safety stuff. So I'm being rolled along by Mr. Katoy, so
I don't have anything to do with that. The chairman's running the meeting.
Yeah, no, but anyway,
we go as long as we need to.
Yeah, park stuff, good stuff. Okay, go parks.
Okay. Having heard that, like
any committee members have anything to say?
They never.
Anything different than we already talked about?
We'll see everyone at the Wind Festival.
You're adjourned.
At 8:36. I do have art and wind coming up.
Monday, yeah.
If anybody wants a poster, and I can get you a poster, and we just put out, I think we just had them printed. I don't think they're even out all yet. We have summer concert flyers, too. So.